Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being here this evening. We thank you so much. We're very excited tonight to have Tommy Gore here with us. Tommy is a, what would you say your title is with Tennessee Prison Outreach?
Well, I work in development, but I do a lot of presentations to churches and just find other ways to be useful.
So, okay.
Generally supporting the ministry.
And if you don't know Tommy, Tommy, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background, where you came from. You've only been here for two years.
A year.
Seems like so much longer. Seems like so much longer. So tell us a little bit about a little bit of history behind you.
All right. Vicki and I have really enjoyed Graymere. We showed up last summer, and one of the things that attracted us to Graymere were the many different ways to serve that were available, and it's exciting to see so much activity and things going on. But where I came from, I grew up in the Madison area and went to that church in the 60s and 70s. And then Vicki and I went to New Zealand and did mission work for 7 years there. And then for 40 years, I've been a preacher in various locations, preached at a couple of different Tennessee churches, and spent 22 years up in Texas. So we came back to this area 6 years ago to be a little closer to a couple of aging parents. And I preached for 5 years at White House. And then came down here. We have a daughter, Laura, that lives in Columbia. And so that was our initial attraction. And then we're happy to find a church home. Graymere.
Tommy was able actually to join us on our Costa Rica mission trip that we went to back in April. And so we had a good trip with that. You actually spoke and had a translator in Spanish there at one of our sessions as well. And so I got to get to know him a little bit. We were actually on the same flight crew or flight group or whatever. And so it was very, very good to be able to talk to him. So let's talk about this ministry. As we start to kind of talk about these ministry roundtable discussions, you know, I think it's important that each ministry we talk about is grounded in Scripture. I mean, that's the reason why we're doing everything anyway. And so when you think of ministry to those who are in prison, what passages come to mind?
Well, I think for most of us, an obvious one that comes to mind is Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "I was in prison and you visited me." And so that's a powerful passage. Jesus, as he looks at the ways to serve, as the ways to express our faith and be faithful to him, that's one of the things that he brings to mind. There's another passage in Hebrews 13 and verse 3. Remember those who are in prison. And when you see that context, of course, it's speaking of Christians who were unjustly imprisoned. But that passage took on new meaning to me last Christmas as I was at a worship service at our facility in Raines Avenue near the Nashville Fairgrounds. And some of the guys, graduates of our program, were leading service. And one of them said, as we approached Christmas, remember those who are still behind bars. It'll be a tough time for them. And it just struck me that here was somebody that I think our impression is if you ever had the misfortune to be in prison and you were able to get out, then you wouldn't look back. You wouldn't think about anybody else except just how exciting life was to be free and the opportunity to enjoy life again. But for some of those guys, they have friends. Even in that circumstance, they developed some deep friendships and they were concerned about their welfare. And so I just think of that as I see that passage in Hebrews 13, remember those who are in prison. It's not out of sight, out of mind. If somebody remembers them and cares for them and pays attention, it is giving a gift that really means a lot to them. And then one other passage that really to me is central is Luke 4. When Jesus in the synagogue opens the scroll of Isaiah to give some verses that he says summarize what his mission is going to be during his time on earth. And so he reads this passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so that phrase, to proclaim liberty to the captives, catches our attention, I think, in relation to this ministry. People who are incarcerated are just the most obvious example of people who have been taken captive by sin. And yet, Jesus said, "I came to bless people in that circumstance, to give them an opportunity to be free of the power of sin." And so, to me, that's a significant basis. We're just trying to carry out Jesus' mission into some corners of society that might otherwise be overlooked.
I think that's an important point to make, is that we tend to overlook those people. We tend to place them in a category that, well, they don't need evangelism. They don't need Jesus because they're already... And so we tend to not do that. I think it's very important. So when we think about, you know, prison ministry as a whole, we've got a very vibrant prison ministry here at Graymere, which you have actually participated in and continue to do so. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit as well, but tell us a little bit about the ministry that's going on with specifically with Tennessee Prison Outreach and what you guys are doing. How is it different, and how does that kind of fit with maybe local congregations kind of working in these prisons?
You know, one of the concepts that we remind ourselves of a lot is the idea of collaboration. You know, we're not claiming we're doing all of this kind of ministry, but we see ourselves as being helpers to those that are already engaged in this kind of work. We've got a network of something like 500 Christian volunteers that are in the prisons and jails in the state of Tennessee. And so one of our roles is to network. And it may be that someone that's been in Murray County gets transferred to a state facility. There's a good chance we've got a connection to volunteers in that new facility, so people don't disappear, they don't drop through the cracks. We can keep that connection going. And so certainly many Christians for a long time have been involved in evangelism and conducting worship services behind bars, and that continues to be very important work. And it exposes that audience to the gospel, to the word. A lot of worship services happen on Sundays. Other times, there are volunteers that will conduct classes and teach Bible classes or mentor in ways, very practical ways of how to prepare for returning to the community and what that looks like, if you're going to be successful. And so there's a lot of work to do, and a lot have been doing that kind of thing. But there's some things that require experienced people and special skills. So particularly as you think about reentry, to be able to provide housing and jobs, that's a very significant work that enhances their ability to stay out of trouble and head in the right direction. And so we've got a reentry program that focuses on that kind of thing. A very capable woman on our staff has lined up 300 different companies that are willing to interview and hire our people. And to be able to give a job, help someone make a connection to a job, is a valuable assistance that helps them get on their feet. So those kinds of things are helpful and extend what happens when local volunteers are teaching in the jails or prisons.
And so I read that, you know, according to y'all's statistics, 120 people are released from Tennessee state prisons every day. And this is not just a program that we go teach them, we baptize them while they're in prison. This is a all-inclusive kind of approach to where it's a before, middle, and after kind of thing that y'all do, and you actually have these what you call reentry services. When you're talking about, let's talk a little bit more about these reentry services. You know, I think I also read one of your statistics around 45% of people that get out of prison end up going back to prison. And so what are some of the things, and you said you got some employers lined up, you've got some different things. What are some of the things and follow-up services that you have other than just employment services maybe that you could elaborate on for those getting out of prison?
So these reentry services are available not only to people that are in our transition house, but also others that can get there for the classes and be a part of the program. And so we have something like 200 people that have gone through the program in recent years, 200 a year. But things like, there's the housing, the one on the left that's pictured there is the men's house, 16-bed facility, and it is right next to our reentry center in the facilities that used to be the Raines Avenue Church of Christ, just over the hill from the Nashville Fairgrounds. The pictured on the right is a project that we dream about, that we're working on, and that is a similar transition house for women. We're about halfway there with getting the resources that we need to make that happen, but we're looking forward to the day when we can provide housing for women coming out of incarceration, and they can have access to a lot of this same help. So think about someone who's been incarcerated for, say 20 years. And now they're coming out and approaching the job market. Probably they have never had a personal computer, you know. A lot of companies only take online resumes these days, you know. So a part of what we do are just those practical steps that can equip them for being successful. So a little bit of computer skill, a little bit of resume writing about their past interest or work experiences. Some are like at Turney, there's an industrial complex, and so they have some marketable skills that they've developed. So that kind of training. Mock interviews, so they know how to handle themselves when they go to the job interview. And then just practical things like perhaps they've never set up a bank account. Maybe the only kind of financial institution they've dealt with has been a fast cash place. And the idea that they can have an account where when they get a paycheck, they can have a place to put it that it won't go away while they're not looking. And just practical instruction like that. The housing is available for some, and when our house is full, we do other things to find help them find affordable housing. 85% that come out of incarceration have a drug or alcohol issue, and so an important part of what we do is recovery program for drug and alcohol abusers. The Celebrate Recovery program is what we use, and it's mandatory for those that are in our program. They go through our program for about 4 months, 4 to 6 months, and that's a part of what's required, the Celebrate Recovery. We require them to be at worship on Sunday afternoons. So we'll have a meal together, and they come to the facility there, and a group of 25 or 30 that are in our program, plus churches that show up, take a turn providing a meal, and interacting with the worshipers. That happens every week. So spiritual resources, mentoring is an important aspect of what we do. It gives them a chance to make a successful reentry into the community. And
that's so important. That I don't think that can be understated, because the fact of just that, what struck me is that these people, some of them have been in jail for 10, 20 years. You have to learn, almost start from scratch again.
Right.
And you guys are offering great training. You guys are offering these programs that are just able to get them back on their feet, whereas maybe a state-run program would not do as much.
Right. You know, and what I've been excited to learn in the past year working with this ministry, everything that we offer has been developed to address a need. And so how can we enhance their chances for success? So you mentioned the statistic. Statewide, 46% are back in prison within 3 years. Those that have been through our program's coming up on 2 years old, our recidivism rate has been 7%.
Wow.
And so it's exciting to see. Here's some things that really do make a difference, and we really focus on those and give men and women a chance to be successful.
And you know, this program, you said it was this program in and of itself has started, but didn't the Tennessee Prison Outreach Program, didn't it start back in the 60s with just two people?
It did. Harold and Helen Cox were members at Madison, coincidentally. Hmm. And when I was a teenager, and they were just getting started in the metro jails and the state prison, they would line up, some of us teenage boys, to take communion to the metro jail, to people that they had baptized. And so I got a little taste of that environment as a teenager. And once you begin to work with people as individuals, all of that surrounding environment sort of falls away.
Yeah.
And you start having an interest in this particular person, and you want their welfare, you want them to learn what they need for building a better life and for knowing about Jesus and for figuring out how to be a faithful Christian, even in that environment.
And I think that's incredibly important what you just said. Everybody, even those who are behind bars, are entitled to that. They are able to take part in being a child of God, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that a little bit. The volunteer program. You guys have an active volunteer mentoring program. How does that program work exactly?
You know, I want to be sure I mention there are mentoring volunteers locally. So, Doug Williams has been very active, and he's probably a good one to ask if you have an interest in doing mentoring in the local jail setting. But we also have a mentor training that we do, just so that people don't have to start from scratch. You have a little bit of preparation. So we've got a basic mentoring class that's 2 hours on an evening, offer it every now and then for people, and then an advanced mentoring class. And it just sort of helps you walk through what to expect, and then what are some of the issues that you'll be facing. One of the issues is manipulation. You know, manipulation is a part of the incarceration culture. And so you have to be aware of that. That's how they survive. That's how they interact in their situation. But mentors need to be aware that, hey, you're the one that guides where this goes, you know. And you're the one that directs them in the right direction. It's okay to be aware of that danger. But a little bit of training can help take some of that unknown away. And what's going on in their lives, in their minds, how can you address where they are? Sometimes they're doing well, sometimes they're spiraling down. That training sort of helps you to be aware of some of those issues.
Well, that, and you go into a situation like that, and it can be, for maybe the average church member, that could be very intimidating. That could be a little bit scary, actually, going into that kind of environment. I remember when I had been to a couple of jail ministries down in, we used to do it at jail ministry in Lewisburg, down there in Marshall County Jail. Mm-hmm. And it's when those bars close behind you, you are in there with them, and you are literally, like you said, bringing the gospel to them where they are. They're not able to get out of there. You have to bring the gospel to them, and I think that's very important. When it comes to, and I always think about the children. You know, some of these inmates have children, small and big, that they have left behind. Some without any kind of father or mother figure to run. So, with these children that are affected by this, how does Tennessee Prison Outreach reach out to them?
You know, as you think about the children, one of the key indicators that a child is at risk for incarceration is, first of all, they don't finish high school. That is the most significant indicator. And the second indicator is if they have a parent who's incarcerated. And so it's very important to think about the families and how to address some of those needs that the children have. And so we have some things that we do with the children. One of the big projects is our summer camp. The camp is up at Castilian Springs in the Gallatin area. And so every child that comes to this camp has a parent that is incarcerated. So everybody's sort of in the same spot in their life. And we've got experienced counselors that can talk with them about what they're experiencing. Some young people, we love to have youth groups that volunteer to come up for, say, a day and participate with the kids and help with programs and just make it fun like any camp. A big part of what happens is, you know, you're out of your normal environment. And you're doing all of the things you normally do at any church camp. But for these kids, it's a special, healthy environment that they might not get during much of the rest of the year. So then there are things through the year that we do to keep in touch with those families. So some special projects, back to school and Christmas time and that kind of thing. I'll tell a story with a Columbia connection. You were mentioning people that are in prison. They've got families. There was a man that was in the River Bend Maximum Security Facility in Northwest Nashville. And as he came in contact with the gospel and started thinking about what he needed to do differently in his life, he started thinking about his two daughters, and they happened to live in Columbia. So one of the things that he requested of his mentor, could somebody get Bibles to my girls, you know. So I got that assignment and was able to take Bibles to their home and met one of the daughters. And she was so excited. She had been told by her dad that someone was going to come and bring her a Bible. So I'm glad that didn't fall through the cracks, you know. And had the fun of being able to deliver that and then talk to the mom about the opportunity at camp to come and be a part of that. So we have some things to offer the families that can give them some hope about what happens in the future.
And again, this is not a ministry just to the people that are behind bars. It's also to their families as well.
Right.
That's very, very important. You know, you just got through talking about one of those interesting stories about how you got to deliver those Bibles. What are some of the success stories that maybe you have? Maybe a story or two that you could tell us about something that's really great that has happened with this ministry.
I think of one man that served 21 years. He encountered the gospel while he was in prison. He responded to the gospel. He became a Christian. He became the assistant to the chaplain in the prison. He received extensive mentoring from one of our volunteers. And while he was behind bars, he finished his college degree. He got a master's degree. And he's now been released as a part of our staff. And he is finishing up his doctorate degree, a doctor of ministry. And his ministry project is on training mentors to work among the incarcerated. And so he's the one that teaches our mentoring classes at our facilities. And so he's the one that talks about manipulation because he's seen it and lived it, you know. But he also is a man of great faith and is just a tremendous asset to have. And so, you know, here's an example of a man who made one bad mistake and his life was changed forever. But because of the gospel, he's found a way to redeem his life and to be a great, you know, mentor to others who have found themselves in that circumstance. So he volunteered to go to Trousdale, which is about the worst of the prisons in the state. When they opened Trousdale, they asked all of the other prisons to send 10% of their population. So guess which 10% the leaders of the other facilities sent, you know. But here is our staff member who says that's where we need to be. You know, we need to be in there and proclaiming the gospel and seeing who we can salvage in that environment. I think of a fella that came through our program a year ago. And when he showed up, he was a man that had no previous exposure to church or to the Bible. And as one of our teachers in his initial class talked about God's forgiveness, among other things, he just shook his head and said, "I just don't think God could forgive somebody who's done what I've done." And the teacher began talking to him about the Apostle Paul, about the chief of sinners, and what God did in his life. And, you know, for us that grew up in the church, that's just so familiar. We know that story. We've learned it from childhood. But for him, it was like a thunderbolt. Just the idea that it might be possible that someone like him could be forgiven. He cried. He broke down that day. And, you know, he eventually became a Christian. He starts every day now with Bible reading and prayer. And he's a different man because the reality of the gospel, he could connect. He could see how that would change a person's life. And then one other I'll mention, I'm currently mentoring a fella that is in our house, our transition house. And after about the fourth session, he opened up and talked to me a little bit about his growing up. And as he was telling his story, I was thinking, how are you even half as the man that you are, you know? He never knew his dad. His mom died when he was 13. She was a drug user, and so wasn't a good mom when he had her. He spent the rest of his days being raised by relatives. He said he had 18 different changes of custody during his growing up years. And so raised some by a good grandma, but mostly by an abusive alcoholic uncle. And even by some of his cousins, the older cousins. And so he just survived. And his experiences were terrible. But he described how, as he read through the New Testament, as he was incarcerated, all of the resentment and anger that he felt from how he was abused just melted away. And he responded to the gospel, became a Christian. But what is exciting about this kind of ministry is that you sort of see the power of the gospel in ways that maybe we don't see regularly in our lives. And so for a man like that, I'm hopeful that he now has a few tools that he can build a better life that he missed out on as he grew up.
Well, I think there's a thread that's kind of going through all of what you said in these success stories, is that you and this ministry are literally delivering hope. You're giving hope to these inmates, to these people that may, these inmates that may not have hope. They may not have any kind of thing that they can grasp onto, and the gospel is one of those things. Just like you said, it may not be a typical thing that we're talking about. We're not talking to people that necessarily would not be in prison, that would be free, but that here you have a very captive audience, pun intended, and it is very, very important that we know that this is the gospel in its purest form almost.
Right. Right. And, you know, from the outside, we think, well, they're incarcerated and they don't have anything else to do. You know, well, there's some truth to that, but there's something else that happens, too. This particular young man that I'm talking about, he read the scripture at the worship service a couple of weeks ago. And I asked him, I said, how did you get to be such a good reader? And he said, well, maybe it's the 2,000 books I've read since I've been incarcerated. And so, you know, he not only read popular books, but he read C.S. Lewis, he read Tolkien, and he read the Bible. And so there are some valuable things that can happen in the context of a lot of time on your hands, you know. And if we can provide the right kind of things for them to discover, then they have a chance to learn some things that perhaps they've never been exposed to before.
And to change their lives forever, and to, in turn, like you said, the gentleman that served 21 years is now working for you. Mm-hmm. He redeemed himself, and now he's able to even redeem others. I think that's the very essence of the gospel. As we kind of move to the end of our discussion here tonight, you know, over the years, Graymere has had a, like I said before, a very vibrant jail ministry here. We've had a great deal and a lot of good done by volunteers that work in our jail ministry here. And this is a ministry that kind of, you know, takes place behind the scenes. Not a lot of people see it happening. Not a lot of people know it's maybe even happening. And so we might not always know what's happening behind it, but now that you've had a chance to be involved with maybe some of these people here at Graymere, what do you think we should know about Graymere's jail ministry?
Well, I wanted to be sure that I gave a little bit of recognition to those who have been involved over the years. And so I asked Ed Self to help me with this list. So if we've overlooked anybody, I want to apologize in advance. We really tried hard to catch everybody, but if we miss somebody, accept my apologies and let these be representatives of those that are in the ministry. But a large number of men are involved in the ministry there, and of course Ed has organized it. Doug Williams has been a key worker in that environment, and the others on the list there, and we've got the women as well. And it includes a couple of women from West 7th that have become a part of this group that is active. And so I hope that we got everybody there. I talked to Wanda about the list there. She's organizing there. And then, as I corresponded with Ed, who happened to be in China last week, he said, oh, and don't forget the women that are involved with the Bible correspondence courses. And I immediately knew the significance of that, because every time we go into the men's facility, at least, and probably the women too, we've got a sheet of paper there for them to sign up if they want the Bible correspondence course. And practically everybody does, each time that I've been. And so the correspondence course is a key connection to the jail ministry, and keeps them going with their studies in between Sundays. So I just want to commend these workers and their faithfulness. And, you know, what happens in this ministry, I think. You mentioned hope. That's a great part of what is offered. And we offer the Word, and so they may be exposed to Scripture that they wouldn't hear otherwise. And I think just the experience of having someone who cares about them, someone that shows up that really has an interest in their welfare and their future, those are valuable gifts that workers here have given. Now, let me explain this last picture. And if the young people had been in here, I wouldn't have shown this picture, all right? So let me explain this one, because to me, this picture has a significant meaning. Because when I look at that, I see this is in Sumner County Jail, but I see an experienced Christian volunteer in his late 70s, who is able to look past what's written on this man's skin to be sure that he gets the Word of God written on his heart. You know? And I just see that and I think, oh, how wonderful that he can be at ease in that environment and he can build a friendship. And he can give the Word a chance to grow in the heart of this man. And so that's the kind of thing that goes on. And it makes this kind of ministry. There are many ways to serve, of course. But it's one of the things that makes this kind of ministry rewarding for those that are able to be involved.
Well, Tommy, we are very, very fortunate that you've come to us and talked to us this evening about this great ministry and as well as the ministry here at Graymere. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just if you go out and get a tattoo, that's on you, all right? I'm not taking responsibility. I figured you could handle it.
Okay. And there are some materials up here on stage. You're welcome to come and grab some. We'll actually put these probably on the table so that you can just grab them here after services. But read some of these things and see if this is somewhere that maybe you can fit in here at Graymere or with the wider Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry as well.
And there is some material out the back as well. So if you go out that way, it's available. And if you have questions or if you have a desire to get involved in a certain way, feel free to talk to me or to some of the other volunteers that are active that we listed.
Thank you so much, Tommy. We're going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for the evening. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all the many blessings that you have given us, Lord. We thank you so much for the Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry that Tommy has come and talked about this evening. And we thank you so much for Tommy and his willingness to come and speak about this, to tell us all about what the good these things, this ministry is doing. We pray for all those who are involved in this ministry, as well as all those people who are involved in the jail ministry here at Graymere, Lord. Lord, we need to know that the people behind bars need to be ministered to as well. When they need your Son as much as anybody else. And Lord, we hope that we will be able to deliver hope to them in the form of your Word, in the form of your Son's gospel. We thank you so much for the abilities that you have given us to be able to do that, the abilities and the courage that you have given the people in the Tennessee ministry as well as here at Graymere to go into those areas, into those prisons, and deliver this message to those inmates. Lord, we pray for each and every one of those inmates that they would be attentive, that they would allow their heart to be broken, that they would allow their Jesus to come into their heart, that they would be baptized and would have salvation in your Son. Every last one of them, Lord. We thank you so much for this ministry. We thank you so much for Tommy and the work that he does with this ministry. We thank you so much for the people here at Graymere that work in our local jails as well. Lord, most of all, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. It's in him that we are truly free. It's in Him that we get all of every bit of our salvation, Lord. We thank You so much for Your Son dying on the cross to save us from our sins. And it's in His name that we pray this prayer this evening. Amen. Thank you very much.